You're listening to The Basic Show with Bay Ragney and Sick Nick Wilkinson.
Oh my God, we are so random.
So, well, here we are on episode number 2 of The Basic Show.
Yeah, man, and I gotta say, man, I got a lot of positive feedback on episode 1.
Dude, honestly, I got the most feedback on episode 1 than I think we ever got on any episode of Totally Gym Radio.
I would agree with that.
And you know what? I want to read this this one message that was sent to me. I don't even want to say the person's name. I'll message the person's name after I read this. But I don't want to say it on air, so I don't know if they wanted me to say or read this or who it's coming from. But
okay.
And actually, it's going to be kind of weird because this is a person who you don't like. So
I already know who it is.
I can't message me first who you think it is, but I can't wait to tell you who it is and what your opinions are afterwards. I wake up Friday morning and I have this message sent to me on Facebook, and it says, dude, I just listened to the podcast and it really brought a tear to my eye. Which actually, you know me, I'm an emotional person. When I showed it to Maria, I started fucking crying myself. So it says, dude, I just listened to the podcast and it really brought a tear to my eye. I am so happy for you. You deserve nothing but the best, and I can't begin to tell you how inspiring your journey has been. I'm working on me for the first time too, and it's rough. Watching your journey and seeing the outcome has given me a kick in the ass. God bless you and your lady. Maria, I think her name is. I'm bad with names. Haha. I really just can't say enough how happy I am for you.
Let me,
did you send me who you think it is?
Just now.
Okay, hold on.
It could only be like one of two or three people.
Okay, it's funny. No, that's not the person, but I actually heard from that person yesterday. I was talking to that person. Okay, here, I'm going to tell you who the person is now through instant messenger. Boom.
That would have been my second guess. 100%.
Now, you know what? That's a person who's been she's nothing but 110% supportive of this whole thing I've been going through in life, and
right.
She sent me constant messages throughout everything and talked to her and like totally has had my back. And yeah, so like when I got that message the other day, like I turned to show Coco, and I literally like had tears in my eyes, and like I couldn't believe, like, I mean, yeah, we honestly, like with episode number 1, like we touched more people than ever than 350 episodes of Totally Gym Radio.
That's crazy. And I told you, I think that's replay another message. One of our other buddies hit us up, Moondog, and he was like, this is exactly what I want to hear. I want to hear my friends talking. I want to hear what's going on in their lives. These were the best episodes of Totally Driven Radio and TV Nation when we were just shooting the shit. And I agree with that to a point. Like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's good to be on here and just kind of connect and be honest and stuff like that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I got a message from Moondog as well, like that he listened to the episode and really liked it, and actually we had a lot more listens than I was expecting throughout the, you know, our outlets, and I was really happy. Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised, and I just want to thank everybody for, you know, checking out episode number 1 and really digging it, and the feedback and everything else. But you know, something funny this morning actually. You know, so I had promoted the show, you know, through social media and on our and the Totally German Instagram, as a matter of fact. And let me get on my Instagram. But the scary part was, so you know, I naturally hashtagged the Bay Show, and there is a or the Basic Show, and there's a. Somebody liked the photo this morning and commented with eyeballs, like kind of like looking at it, like what the fuck? And it was basic.inc.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As in Bay, sick, just the way we do it. And right. then, so there's a basic.inc, and it seems like there are like a clothing line or something based out of California. Out of the Bay Area, yeah.
Now, I did see on Twitter that we had a couple replies that were like, hey, you know, what other podcasts do you listen to and stuff like that? But I don't usually answer those ones because they're just trying to get, you know what I mean? They're just trying to promote their own crap. And
right.
and I'm cool with that as long as they retweet us first.
Yeah, exactly. Too freaking funny. Too funny. So, going to the Gar Show, a little shout out to John, our the original our voiceover guy from Total Dream Radio, the early days. John hit me up yesterday. He heard the podcast and he liked it and was enjoying it. And then he's still contemplating doing his own podcast. I'm like, dude, just fucking do it. Just do your fucking show. Like, stop with it. I mean, 8 years later now, you're still fucking trying to get it.
No, I know. Like, what do you think will get made first? The Gar Show or Dead Afterlife? Like,
honestly, I think the Gar Show. I truly do.
Like, Both of them for about 8 years now have been putting on this production. Like,
right.
And it's okay, so I'll get into it since you brought up his name. Like, I actually don't have a problem with the dude. I blocked him because I felt like he was ignorant to me. I made a ginger slut joke that I made, but it was made with like the purest intentions of just like comedy. You know what I mean? And he like blasted me for it. He's like, this is my community. And I was just like, stop it. You know what I mean? Like, you put ginger asses on Facebook. It's not a community. You know what I mean? And like, he sort of blasted me for it. So I blasted him back. And then I think we sort of mutually blocked each other. But the truth is, I don't really have an issue with him. Like, he was always nice to me. He was always cool. He did lots of voice stuff for us. You know what I mean?
That's funny, you know, because he asked me, I think he asked some, almost along the lines of, does Nick hate me or something? I'm like, what? And then he was saying, he's like, yeah, we had like a little thing on, and I'm like, nah, I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know. Like,
right? I feel like maybe he took my joke the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I shouldn't have called, you know, redheaded chicks and thongs sluts, but I swear to God, they, it was like, it was just for the comedy. Like, I don't know them or their absentee fathers. You know what I mean? Like,
it was kind of the same thing. Like, my dude, you know, he never said nothing to me, and you know, he was kind of sarcastic, and I was sarcastic back. I'm like, well, then, you know, it was probably something all in whatever, but I'm sure it's like something stupid. So yeah.
Sometimes it happens, you know. Like, I was going through a lot, like physically at that time as well, and like there were days where I would just wake up in like the foulest mood. Like, another guy that I kind of blocked and I unblocked but I haven't really friended is the Captain. Like, I don't really have any issues with the Captain. In fact, I have love for the Captain. You know what I mean? Like, he sent me toys. I know he's helped you out like 1,000 times and he's a good friend. Like, he just got pissy because I didn't like that movie, that shitty M. Night Shyamalan movie that they shot. And I got pissy because he got pissy. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, come on, dude, it wasn't your production. Calm down. You don't have to come at me because of that. But, like, I really don't have any issue with him. You know what I mean? Like,
I can't explain enough how much that guy helped me.
Absolutely.
Through these times.
And I have nothing but respect for him.
Yeah, nothing but love and respect. And to the Pirate and Ontario Street Comics and yeah, nothing but love for him and his family. And yeah, I can't say enough good things about the Pirate. I truly can't. Like, that dude.
It was one of my first stops when I came to Pennsylvania, was to make sure I got in there and got a picture with him. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, it's crazy. Like, he, you know, he's a guy I met through promoting wrestling shows with Liberty All Star Wrestling. Like, Christ, it's almost 20 years ago.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah, and, you know, he reached out to me and became a ticket outlet for early Liberty All-Star Wrestling shows. And
oh, wow.
He just, like, stepped up, like, instantly and wanted to be a sponsor and help out. And, you know, and it was just a friendship. And then it was kind of like it was one of them things, like, in the wrestling business where I kind of thought, like, once I stepped away from the wrestling thing, like, the friendship would fade considering thinking, right. You know, like normal wrestling friendships, you know, because, you know, the way it works in wrestling, if you're not a viable person in wrestling anymore, you can't do nothing for people in wrestling. They don't want nothing to do with you. But it was nothing like that at all. Like, that dude has, for 20 years, been a nothing but a true friend. And,
right.
You know, I can't stress enough how much that guy has helped me in life and been there for me. And I got nothing but love for that fucking guy and his family. And, yeah, seriously. You know, he the wacky pirate is nothing but goodness and love, man. Seriously.
Absolutely. And totally, despite the fact that we're not really friends on Facebook right now, I feel exactly the same way. I have nothing but love for the guy. You know what I mean? Like, nothing but support. He always retweeted us. He always supported the shit. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a good dude all around. Like I said, like, I was going through a lot of stuff, and I, like, some of it I didn't really know how to handle at the time, and I was, you know what I mean? Like, especially with, like, I'm not trying to put it all off on the diabetes and stuff too, but, like, I have ridiculous mood swings. Like, you know what I mean? And it's just, it happens, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, dude. So we got a bunch of topics that we have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we have topics.
Yeah.
But something I want to get into, and I want to run past you before we get into all like the true topics is, so, you know, once we restarted this thing, you know, we went into three shows, and this being one,
the
basic show, and we have the Rock and Raggy show, which I did a couple episodes this week of, and, the third show, which would be, Totally Driven Celebrity Interviews, you know.
Yeah.
I've been kind of thinking, and I want to pass to you, like, because it kind of, I'm kind of thinking of just taking out the Totally Driven Celebrity Interviews and just making it Totally Driven Radio. And, but it will be celebrity interviews, but
right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's just keep it going as Totally Driven Radio with celebrity interviews, and that's going to be a separate show as well, and we keep this here and the Rock and Raggy thing. But I think we should just call it Totally Driven Radio and keep going, because, you know, we had, you know, 350 episodes or 350 something episodes, whatever it was. You know, I have to look up, but I don't want to lose
that right.
record. And also too, the way I was kind of thinking is, like, some of the people we interview, I mean, they might be celebrities. They might not. They're kind of on the borderline. So they may not deserve the true title of celebrity, but you know what I mean? Like we got Ralph and Patsy coming back, you know, in a few weeks. Celebrities, they're, without a doubt. They're whatever level of celebrity you want to say. They are some type of celebrity. But then say if we have like somebody, I don't want to say a name out loud, but, you know, somebody who we consider like a celebrity, but they're really not. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I mean, I'm totally all for it, dude. I think we talked about changing the name because of some things that were going on in personal life and stuff, but all that sort of got worked out. And you told me in private that certain things will remain, you know, within your realm. And so there really isn't necessarily a huge need to change it the way that it was. You know what I mean? Like, so that makes sense, you know, and we can continue on with the numbers. We can continue on with the YouTube page and everything like that would be a lot easier than fans trying to figure out, oh, well, which one's the new show, which one's the old show. Like, absolutely. I totally get the, you know, your thought process behind that.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah, man. And I can adjust the logo as well. So
sweet. And I just want to say, as we are recording this, Coco just made a nice fucking bowl of macaroni for me with some leftover gravy from her father, which is delicious. So if you hear me chewing in between talking, I apologize, but it's just so fucking good. I can't stop.
Now, see, I'm currently feuding with my family over food, so I don't have anything in front of me.
whoa. So what do you mean you're feuding with the family over food?
Okay, so we were at the grocery store, and we left the grocery store. We just went to get a couple things, you know, Easter tomorrow and everything. And I said, like, hey, should we stop somewhere, get something to eat, you know, because I had just got up because I had a really bad night last night. And my wife was like, no, we have tons of food at home. And I was like, are you sure? And she was like, yeah, totally. And I was like, look, if you're not sure, I'm going to be really mad because I'm getting really tired of you telling me that we have, like, the same four things and, like, three of them I always say no to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want a fucking omelet. I never want an omelet. Stop asking me for an omelet. You know what I mean? Like, and, of course, we get home and she's like, well, we have hot dogs and we have omelets. And I don't like hot dogs or omelets. You I was like, well, where's all this tons of shit that you mentioned? And she was like, well, I'm sorry. And I'm like, well, I'm still hungry. You're sorry doesn't mean shit to me when I'm hungry. You know what I mean? Like, don't fucking poke the snake when he's hungry. You know what I mean? Like, so we're just arguing and fighting over that. I stormed upstairs and was like, I'll never eat again. Fuck you. And she's like, good, because I'll never feed your crippled ass. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, normal marriage stuff.
Have you ever had a hot dog omelet?
No.
That's good stuff, dude.
No, I have had spaghetti with hot dogs cut up in it. That's like a Filipino thing.
I've had kielbasa with spaghetti.
Oh, see, now that sounds good. I would have ate that if she'd offered that.
Yeah, I've had like kielbasa or like a smoked sausage with spaghetti.
Now, I should say that we are having an actual dinner tonight. We're having, like, Mexican food. So, like, I really shouldn't have thrown that big of a fit. But at the same time, I don't care. And I refuse to apologize because that means I lost. So,
you know what's great? So, I mean, most people, will say this, are not friends with Nick on social media. Like, if you were one of the few, chosen few, you truly are a lucky one because you get to see the inner workings of Nick's things that are going on in his home. And it's funny because Coco said to me the other day, she's like, I love when Nick puts these things up where it's the conversations where it's Nick and then Nick, what Nick says.
Oh.
And then Kate and what Kate says or what Helen says. And where he puts these conversations up and you just sit there. You read it and it's a spectacle and you're like, it's almost like sitcom writing. Like this needs to be like out on fucking TV or something.
People ask me all the time, is that real? Did that really happen? And 100%, like my social media, like you said, I don't have like hundreds and hundreds of friends. I don't like turn down too many friends requests, but I don't actively go out there and recruit people. Like, I expect people, if they want to be friends, they'll friend request me. If I don't know them, I want them to send me a message first to be like, hey, my name is Stones. Like, I'm just not letting random people into my life. That's weird. You know what I mean? Like, but I do. I my social media, I try to keep it 100. That's what it's for. It's for therapy. It's for catharsis. It's for letting it all out, so to speak. You know what I mean? So, like, you'll notice that my daughter and Kate are not on my social media. Why? Because I talk mad shit about both of them on social media. But I do it to the people that I care about and the people that care about me. It's my way of venting. You know what I mean? It's a de-stress mechanism. I can be friends with them on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, but not Facebook. That's for Nick.
That shows you where, I mean, Facebook, and I've always said this, I thought Facebook was more of a personal thing, where Instagram is not, you can't get as personal on Instagram as you can on Facebook.
Absolutely. And I like that. I like having the ability to reach out, to talk smack, to, like, relay our funny little conversations. And I think, you know, for the most part, I'm kind of a funny, jovial kind of guy in my house with my kids and my wife and stuff. So I like to share that kind of thing. If I make them laugh, I assume it's going to make someone else laugh. And even if it's a stupid fight, but it's, you know, almost all of my fights end in comedy. You know what I mean? So...
You know, it's funny because the other day, like, you know, you get the Facebook suggestions. Your daughter Becca came up as a suggestion for me, and I was like, oh, Becca, and I was like about to add her, and I was like, wait, because I mean, we're friends on Instagram and or whatever. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, I don't even think Nick's friends with her. And then I saw you weren't. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to add her on Facebook then.
No, and I'm totally cool with that. Like, if friends and family that know her want to add her, that's totally on her. Truth is, she's not really on Facebook. She has a Facebook page that she uses for, you know, simple little things, but she's totally Instagram and Snapchat. Like, that's, and same with Kate. She's Instagram. That Instagram's actually the only social media that Kate has, and it's mostly for baby pictures. And she does this thing with these, like, stupid little dolls that she has. They look cute, and then you squeeze a button, and they have, like, mean faces. And she, like, plays metal songs with them, like, making faces and tags bands in them and stuff. That's pretty much, like, she has almost no social media footprint. She does not care. Like,
Oh, man. When we were talking about it, I threw some things at you I wanted to talk about this week. I really wanted to get asked with you this week. I mean, we talked a lot about me last week. But one thing I do want to throw out this week, and, we talked a lot about my whole divorce situation last week and, you know, my new love life and stuff like that. And it hit me, like, afterwards, like, a couple days later, before I released it live, like, me and Coco sat down and we listened to the episode. And then it hit me, like, I didn't mention this person, and I don't need to mention this person, but it really struck me after listening back to the replay with her, like, I think I should have mentioned this person, because, I honestly want to give this person credit, because me personally, I feel I should, because it's like, people wouldn't believe truly what goes on, but. So, Coco's ex-husband, we've become friends. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, she has an amazing relationship with her ex-husband, and, like, especially, like, through the quarantine. Like, even before the quarantine, like, Christmas time, like, I went to dinner, me and Coco and Coco's dad and her ex-husband's parents. We went to dinner for right before Christmas, and I met them, and hung out with her ex-husband a couple of times, and we've talked, and we have a great respect and friendship for each other, and it's really it's kind of weird that a situation like this would be, like, really cool, but it is really cool, and really good dude, and I got a lot of respect for the dude, and even through the quarantine, like, he sent me a text message, like, when the quarantine first started, like, thanking me for being here for both Coco and his daughter, and he feels really happy that I'm here for them, and during the quarantine, he comes over, like, every few days, and we'll hang out, and we go for walks together, and me, him, and his daughter, and Coco. Like, it's really a cool, strange, but cool situation, and
well, no, I mean, I get it, though, like, as a father myself, and, like, you have to trust the person that's there with with your kid, and I get that, like, and the fact that the two of you can connect, and, like, you share common interests, despite the fact that there could be, like, jealousy and all that kind of stuff, like, you have to put that aside, because you guys love the same things. You love her daughter. I'm sure that he hasn't lost all the love for Coco. It just developed into friendship and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So so of course, you know what I mean? Like, it is weird. I won't get it wrong, but it's weird in the way that most people out there are immature assholes, and you guys have just put that aside and decided to act like grown-ups.
You know, and that is the key word there, like, grown-up. You gotta act like, mature and grown up in a situation like that. And, like my sister had a situation with her youngest daughter, and it wasn't handled like a grown up should handle it. And it caused a lot of problems between her and her daughter. And, I was upset with her for years for that. And I've talked to Coco about that, and I've explained the situation, and then I see her situation, and they've handled it like adults. Like, they had a situation that just didn't work out. Their marriage didn't work out, and they've gone their separate ways years ago. And, he's in a relationship now, and now that I'm with Coco, his ex-wife, like, but there's a great mutual respect between us and a friendship that has formed. And, like, the other day he came over, dude, and, he's a guitarist, and him and Coco used to have a band at one time together. And we were sitting on our front porch, and the two of them were, like, he was playing guitar and she was singing along, and I was sitting there. I pulled the guitar out and was showing him my guitar and stuff. And, you know, he was, like, playing Kiss tunes. We would have great fucking time. And, you know, I wish more divorced couples and stuff would just take a page out of their book and just realize, like, you know, it's not all about you, you know.
Right.
So, and you know, like Coco has explained to me, like, you know, their relationship now is more like almost like a brother, sister, or cousin relationship where, you know, they have a love for each other and a respect for each other, and, you know, they have a daughter together, and people need to, like, really, more people in the world need to be more like that. And I just wanted to throw that out there. And I wanted to give props to, you know, listening back to last week. Like, I was like, fuck, I really should have thrown that out there, but I wanted to make sure I threw that out there this week.
Now, somebody that you just brought up, I actually meant to ask you on National Siblings Day how your niece was doing, because I got a chance to meet them when we were out here, and I know things are kind of crazy in Arizona, so I did want to check in and make sure that they were doing okay. If they needed anything, they know they can reach out, but how are they?
You know what, they're doing good. They, you know, her, they both work for, probably the biggest, electric, I don't want to say it, like, electric supply company, like electrical supply.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Not like
yeah.
Or something like that, but a supply company for like construction sites and houses and stuff like that. In like the Philly tri-state area, and her husband, I think he's vice president of the company, and they both of them, thank God, have not lost their jobs yet. But I mean, it's been kind of teetering, and you know, she's been expecting to lose her job, and her husband has been expected to kind of most definitely take a cut in pay and some, you know, however they're going to work it. And, you know, it's just a crazy situation right now, but overall they're doing good. Their kids are great. And yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I talked to her a few times a week, and yeah, she's doing great. And, her daughter is engaged now and supposed to be getting married. I'm actually getting married on my birthday next year. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Down in Florida. So we're going to be going down to Florida for that. So it's yeah, man. They're doing good. They're doing really good, though.
Very cool.
It's crazy when you think back to when we met at Sammy and Amy's, and that whole freaking night, dude.
Yeah.
It's funny because whenever I hang out with them, and especially if we're drinking, like her husband's a big drinker, George is a big drinker, and we sit and drinking, and he always has to tell the story to like people we're with, or he'll get like half shot in the ass, and he'll just be like, this fucking guy over here, I've never gone somewhere where they shut the whole fucking restaurant down. Like, they shut it all down, you know. And that was just crazy, that whole situation in time. Like, we never expected that, and I begged them not to. And they shut their restaurant down for us was just mind-blowing.
I actually talked to Amy the other day for a little while.
Oh, really?
On Instagram. Yeah, yeah, because they're in Israel right now.
Yeah.
And she's killing it, though, with the desserts and everything. And they're doing really well. I checked in on both her and Sammy, make sure that they, you know, they weren't struggling or anything like that. Because, I mean, they're good friends. Even after we had lunch, they hooked us up more than a few times. I went to see them and things like that. So I like to keep in touch with some of our, you know, just, I'm sure you do the same thing with random, you know, people that we've had on the show that we made friends with. But yeah, they're doing really well over there.
Yeah, I mean they've gotten so much hate over the years.
Yeah.
And, like when I tell the story about them and how nice they've been those over the years, people look at me like I'm fucking nuts. Like they cannot believe it. And they truly, like, they welcomed us in with open arms and with love and respect. And I love the both of them so much. Like, numerous times, I'll never forget what you did for us that night. Like, you know, they nobody expected them to shut their restaurant down for us, and they shut it down and just treated us like complete fucking royalty.
No, and absolutely. And people will say, you know, well, that was for the show or whatever. But, it goes so much further past that. I went there to get a cake for my wife's birthday. Amy went above and beyond and supplied all these desserts. And then they didn't charge me. They were like, get the hell out of here. We're not taking your money. You know what I mean? Like, and, like, multiple times they reached out and were like, hey, do you want this? Do you like this? Let me show you this. they become really just nice people and great friends. And absolutely, people are the same thing, man. When we talk about that, or when I log onto the YouTube page and I still see that they get hateful comments and stuff, it's amazing. Like, don't believe everything you see on TV, man, because it's just not true. Like, not in our case. Like, they are the opposite of the way they were portrayed.
Yeah, you know, like, I ended up doing a, we told them on the old Two Legion radio, like, I ended up doing a, like a talk show.
Yeah.
Almost like a Jerry Springer type show. And it sat there on YouTube. You won't be able to find it unless you really know what the you're looking for, but.
And you're not going to say it.
I'm not going to say it. It could have been really ugly, but it came off not too bad. So, you know, through the power of editing this footage, you can make people look as good as bad as you want.
Right. Absolutely. But, oh, man, I wish I could have been there, though.
You know, speaking of, first of all, I'm glad that you reached out to them and you've talked to them. Like, I haven't done so since they've been, you know, I might have sent them, like, one or two little messages here and there. But have you ever, especially now, during this crazy time with this whole quarantine and stuff like that, have you ever felt like just going through and just reaching out to, like, people you haven't talked to in a while and just reaching out to them, especially, like, all of our past guests that, you know, we form relationships with, just saying, yo?
There's a few, I think, that I do sort of not regularly, I would say, but on a semi-regular basis, I try to, you know, say hi to or touch base. Rachel's one of them. Kurgara's one of them. Our buddy from Arizona, what's his name? Marcus Scott. yeah, man, but absolutely. Like, and actually, it's funny, like, since you've been with Coco, and Coco and Wee-Wee are very sort of like pro-positivity people. You know what I mean? Like, they constantly put up stuff that are like, think positive and positive things will happen. And, like, try not to dwell on the negative and stuff like that. So, like, even though, like, mostly I kind of laugh and I'm like, I'm not a hippie, I don't listen to that. Like, I do kind of listen to it because I've noticed that, like, I've started this thing where, like, if I think something positive, like, say I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see, like, somebody and I'm like, oh, wow, that's a nice picture, or, wow, they have a pretty smile or something, I'll make it a point to leave a comment, like, a positive comment, because, like, I'm starting to understand, like, leaving positivity out there doesn't hurt anybody. You know what I mean? Like, it only brings good things.
Dude,
so, yeah, dude, I definitely understand what you're saying.
That whole positivity thing, it truly works. Like, if you think positive and spread positivity, it fucking comes back to you. It truly does.
Right. No, I'm with you, buddy. I'm like, totally.
But you know what, too? Marcus Scott. In the last couple of weeks that we started doing shows again, and dude, he's reached out to me or sent me text messages, and he's like, I'm ready, buddy. I'm ready, brother. Whenever you need me. Like, he's chomping at the fucking bit. So I'm going to have to set him up, like, in the next week or two. We're going to have to set up an interview with him, without a doubt.
I need to sit down with him and talk about, like, not to put myself over or anything, but, like, songwriting and stuff like that. Like, he's somebody that's local and close, and I really should be spending more time, like, trying to, you know what I mean, learn from people. But, yeah, totally. And I see it all the time. He's constantly commenting and so supportive and stuff. Absolutely. I mean, he's a good dude, though.
It's so funny to me because going back to the days of when Trickster was breaking and big, he was my least favorite member of the group.
That's funny.
But it's funny because, you know, I sit there now and I can send him a text message right now, and boom, he answers me right back. He's fucking right there.
Right.
The other night, we were sitting there, me and Coco. So, her cousin Vinny, up in New York, back in New York, he's this major, like, autograph person. Like, he's all into, like, celebrities and seeking, getting autographs and stuff like that. He's been doing it for 40-plus years. Being the fact that back in the 70s, he the way it happened, she was telling me. So he met Robert De Niro 7 days in a row in New York City. Okay. Finally, De Niro turned around and pulled him aside and started picking his brain and talking to him, because De Niro was filming this movie at the time, working on this movie called The King of Comedy.
Right.
Where he plays this
great movie.
Plays this crazed comedian who's a kind of a wacko, and the major influence for this movie and his character was Coco's cousin, Vinny. Well, Coco's cousin is like this, like I said, this major celebrity autograph seeker, celebrity person, and he's friends with like Kiss. Like he's like, she was showing me the other day, like he's pictures he put up with Kiss, like Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley at his house back all through the 80s and shit like that. And, you know, he's formed relationships with a lot of these people. And you know, it's really a sad story where just yesterday, this is her father's sister. I think her name is Ms. Positive. Her name was Nancy. Passed away yesterday morning from the coronavirus. And yeah, Vinny's mom. So, you know, thoughts and prayers out to all of them, but it's just a freaking crazy time. But, it's just a crazy thing thinking, you know, how I saw, Mark Scott was friends with Vinny. So I sent Mark a text the other night. I'm like, dude, I say you're friends with this dude, Vinny, blah, 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 blah. He's this dude from New York. And he's like, oh my God, yes. He's like, I know Vinny. He's like, that's fucking awesome. He's like, when you're ready to do an interview? You know what I mean? Like,
that's crazy. Funny.
one of the big topic I really wanted to get into this past week was, I'm sorry. I have a little laugh because I see our buddy Santa Claus puts up cherry vanilla Coke and Jack Daniels. Perfect.
Stop drinking.
I'm drinking a fucking orange juice right now.
Not me.
Too
funny. Oh, man. That's funny, dude.
So one of the things I really wanted to discuss this week was your whole health thing, man. Like, you've been going through a whole freaking lot of health issues over the last, you know, 6 months or so, to where it's been really, really bad, dude. And, you know, I think we should really talk about it and throw it out there, and let's see what we can do, man.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I try not to dwell on it too much, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot to that I guess I could be, like, sad or angry about, but, like, it also happened at this point in my life where, like, a lot of good stuff happens, if that makes sense. So, like, in a way, it all sort of just in my mind balances itself out. But, yeah, man, about 9 months ago, I went into the hospital right before Ronnie was born. I was there for 13 days. They thought that I had colitis. They thought that I had all these different things. And they really couldn't figure it out. That was probably the fifth or sixth time that I'd been in the hospital within 2 or 3 years. And, yeah, man, it was problematic. I was in a lot of pain all the time, stomach issues, you know, just my legs, my shoulders, and then shit really hit the fan. I remember it like, boom, like dramatically. It was the day before Christmas Eve, and we were getting out of the car to walk into the Walmart, and I couldn't walk anymore. I had taken like 5 steps. And my right leg just wouldn't come up off the ground. Like I started getting this really bad pain in my hip. And over the course of, you know, maybe 2 or 3 more months, we were going to the doctors. We were figuring out different tests. I took MRIs and CTs and X-rays and blood tests and pretty much everything you could think of. I went to rheumatologists. I went to orthopedic surgeons. I went to, you know, pretty much ran the gambit there. And just recently, I would say it was about a month ago, we finally came to the conclusion that not only do I need to have surgery on my right hip, they called it a catastrophic injury, that it's like it's a complete meltdown. It's now spread to my left hip, and the right hip can't be, they can't surgically repair it because there's damage to the tip of my, it's called your femur, or your femoral head, and it's like part of your leg bone, basically. And that's where, when you get a hip replacement surgery, that's where they like screw it in so that it stabilizes it. Unfortunately, I have damage to that as well, and now it's spreading to the left side. So I've been sort of confined to a wheelchair. Now, this was brought on for two reasons. Unfortunately, I was diagnosed with lupus, which is a autoimmune disease, and it causes a lot of swelling and a lot of deterioration in your joints, not just your hip, but your shoulder, you know, all, even in your spine and stuff. But also I have, man, it's such a complicated phrase, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's like, it's basically necrosis. Basically what happened, without getting into like all of the ins and outs, is when I was a little kid, I was physically abused. The jerk off that abused me liked to kick us in the legs, more specifically like right in the hip, to sort of take our legs out from under us. And what happens is, when you're growing up, those bones are still developing. And when you get trauma to those bones, it makes the blood vessels, the passages that the blood vessels go through, narrower and narrower. And eventually, like, it cuts off the blood supply, and over time, it just sort of dies. So it's a combination of lupus and then, like, long-term trauma from years ago that's just basically fucked my hips all up. Like, the one is completely shot. Like, there's no hope for it. The other one right now, they can do something for, but they're not 100% sure that they even want to do the surgery, because it can continue to get bad, and then it may just cause complications later on down the line, where they would have to take the screws out, they would have to take the, you know, the brace out and everything like that. So basically, I've been confined to a wheelchair for the last 2 months. It's not going to get better. The doctor said kind of point blank, within the next 2 years, I'll be permanently confined to the wheelchair. As it stands right now, I can walk with my cane. My buddy Chris got me this really nice cane, and I can take, you know, 10, 15 steps before I start to struggle. And occasionally, if you're in Arizona, you'll see me out. If I'm at the gas station, I'll walk in real quick, because it's easier than pulling out my chair and going through all that. But eventually I won't be able to do that either. It'll all be sort of wheelchair bound. The problem is right now is that, because of the lupus, I also am having problems in my shoulder, and I need shoulder surgery. So I can't even push myself around in the wheelchair right now. My wife has to push me around, or my daughter has to push me around, and it just sucks. It's not so much the pain. Recently, they finally managed to get me an appointment with like a pain specialist, and they put me on some new medication. So that's handling pretty well, but it's just relying on other people, and there's definitely a learning curve when it comes to being in a wheelchair. Like, even in the store, like, you cut people off. Like, if my wife has to leave me somewhere and go grab something, I'm kind of always in the way. On top of that, you know, there's stares from lots of people that are just like, look at this fat guy in a wheelchair. He just doesn't want to walk. You know, stuff like that. And it's been a rough 9 months or so. But at the same time, for those that don't know, I also had a new baby 9 months ago, so I'm, like, extremely happy about that. So, yeah, man, yeah. So lupus and hip surgery and shoulder surgery, and the only good thing, though, I will tell you, is that you remember, like, we struggled, especially with the stomach pain and waking up in the morning. I was throwing up and all that. Like, once we figured out it was lupus and what was going on, a lot of that was able to be controlled by medication. So, like, despite the fact that I have different pain, like, a lot of that resolved because of, you know, new treatment and stuff like that. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, I'm happy that some of it was taken care of, but now, like, I'm dealing with all new kind of bullshit. And yesterday, or the day before, 2 or 3 days ago, Kate was pushing me. I told her not to go down the ramp, that it was too steep or whatever. and she didn't listen, and she broke the front wheels off of my wheelchair. So I was kind of just stuck in the middle of the parking lot, couldn't move, couldn't get up. And now I'm waiting. I have to come up with like another $50 for my wheelchair to get a replacement wheelchair from my insurance. It's going to take a week to get that. Once I have the money, and of course we're in the middle of this virus shit, so nobody's working. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like nonstop, one thing after another. But I'm trying. I'm trying to keep a smile on my face.
Well, you're laughing there, but in all seriousness, like, so like when I was going through, like, you know, a lot of the issues with the circuit, I was getting these injections at home, and I talked about this previously, it was kind of a real mind fuck to have to like be in your home and get these injections. Yours is a lot deeper. Like, I mean, you're in a wheelchair, not that you're completely confined to it, but you're having to use it from, you know, when you're out and about and stuff like that. So like mentally, how is that on you? That's gotta be rough, dude.
It's tough, man, because like I'm upstairs in my bedroom. I'm actually in a giant walk-in closet right now. That's like my podcasting room, my man cave and stuff. But like, I spend an abnormal amount of time just going from between like my computer chair and the bed, because like I can only spend so much time sitting before it really starts to be painful, and then I have to lay down, and then I can only spend a little bit of time laying down before it becomes painful, so I go back to sitting. We live in a two-story house, and everybody's downstairs, so like once, twice, three times a day, I try to make it downstairs, spend some time down there with the kids, with my wife, with, you know, the in-laws and stuff, but it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard to navigate the stairs to go up or to go down. We're actually thinking about moving the bedroom. We have a dining room that nobody uses. It just kind of sits there empty. We're actually thinking about moving the bedroom down there so that I don't have to, you know, go up and down the stairs a whole lot. But it's difficult, you know, because you're isolated. You're not around, you know, the people that you usually spend your whole day with. Pain causes a whole lot of mood swings and a whole lot of bad attitudes as well. You know what I mean? And I'm sure it's hard for the people that, you know, live with me or whatever to deal with that as well, because they're dealing with, you know, stuff that I'm going through just like I am. And, it's tough. You got to rely on other people to move you around. Before I was on the narcotic that I'm on now, there was a 3-day period where I couldn't get out of bed at all. I couldn't make it to the bathroom. My wife had to literally like almost drag me to the bathroom, and it's only like 12 steps from my bed. So it gets tough. You know what I mean? Like, it probably sounds stupid, but Facebook again is a big part of how I stay, sane and how I stay active. I like talking to people on Facebook. I like posting. I'm in a lot of different groups. I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of articles and stuff like that. So I'm able to stay active that way, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, totally. Because you are, especially like I see like mutual groups we're in. I see your posts come up where you're interacting with all these different people. And that totally makes sense. It kind of gives you like somewhat of a balance to, you know, especially when you're in a bed or trapped in your house, like in this quarantine times we're going through.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The quarantine thing, I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me. I spend all my time inside anyway. but no, like even with the wheelchair, there's a local pizza place that I really like. I really like their pizza, and it's not too far away. So sometimes we'll get the wheelchair out, we'll put the baby in the stroller, and Becca will push her while Kate pushes me, and we'll, you know, spend a little bit of time outside and stuff like that. So it's not, as much as it sucks, like there's still some good parts or whatever, but it gets tiresome sometimes, you know what I mean? Especially like late at night if I'm up. You probably noticed a couple of times this week I put up like kind of these sad sack posts where I'm just a little depressed and not really feeling it. And usually it's because I had a shitty day or I can't fall asleep. Or the other night I took like two of my narcotics. I took two of my Tylenol PMs, and I took two like Ativans, which are like really strong anti-anxiety things, and I'm still just laying in bed like, why can't I sleep? What the hell's going on? You know, I'm in a decent amount of pain. Like, I was loaded up on meds, and I was still like you know, but it comes and it goes. That's pretty much, I guess, the best I can say.
Damn, dude. It's crazy. And that's the reality of, like, the medications and shit. Like, you know, you can take all those medications and then you get to that point where you need to keep upping it and upping it and upping it. And it's freaking, like, just a, you know, just a spiral that just doesn't stop.
Absolutely. And I'm so careful with my narcotics because last June my sister OD'd and died, and I'm still kind of processing and dealing with that. And so I'm supposed to take 2 pills 3 times a day, basically. I try to hold on as long as I can during the day. I promised myself I wouldn't take a pill before 2 p.m. no matter what. And then I try to take 1 pill at a time rather than 2. So right now I'm averaging 2 to 3 pills a day instead of the 6 that they say I can take. So I'm hoping that by doing that, I don't have to increase it as often, and I don't get sort of the dependency that comes along with it.
You know what's crazy? Like I was on all those different pills too. Like, you know, back when I was in PA, and like I was on 8 different medications a day and a weekly injection. And since I've come to Nashville, dude, I haven't taken 1 fucking pill or injection, and I feel better than ever.
I noticed too, you're a lot more active. You take a lot more walks. You do a lot more stuff, but you're just, it's amazing how that changes. You know what I mean? Like, you dropped a lot of weight, and I'm sure that had, you know, tremendous health benefits.
But you know what's like,
I'm actually myself down like 45 pounds too.
Are
so
you?
I am. When I went to the doctor the other day, it was like 325.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, that, you know, that was down from like 370. So.
Wow. That's awesome, dude. But yeah, I really noticed with the medications, like every medication like that I was on would like give me a different side effect, and then you got to take a different medication, and those medications like give you more side effects that are supposed to combat the other side effects, and then it just keeps adding and adding, and like I think that was also part of my my weight gain as well. I know it was definitely part of my fluid retention, to which then I had to take fluid pills.
Right. And actually right now I'm only on the lupus medication and the pain medication. I stopped taking my diabetes and high blood pressure and all that medication because not because the doctor said to stop taking them because I'm healthy or whatever, but I wanted to get to a point where like I was starting fresh, where I was evened out. We could see what my levels were without any pills in the system. You know what I mean? So that we could adjust accordingly. Because like you said, there's so many side effects that if I don't need certain pills, I don't want them to just continue giving them to me because that's what I was on. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It gets crazy.
So we're doing really good. Actually, I'm probably not going to have to go back on my blood pressure medication because every time I've been in the doctor's, it's been normal. So they were like, well, that's good. You know, you probably won't need that. I probably still will need a little bit of the diabetes medicine, mostly because I'm not as active as I should be. Like, I was like that before I was in the wheelchair. Truthfully, I'm probably more active now that I'm in the wheelchair because it takes more effort to push myself around and stuff
sure.
like that.
Sure. Well,
yeah.
Hopefully, hopefully you can like get rid of the wheelchair and like become normal, Nick will say.
I want to be real clear when I say this. The wheelchair is probably a permanent part of my life now. Like the way she described it to me was like within 2 years, I'll be in it all the time. Like, just because lupus is a progressive disease, the way that the deterioration in my bone there is going, it's just not. There is a treatment for it. Unfortunately, it's not that it's not covered by my insurance. It's not covered by any insurance right now. It involves stem cells and stuff like that, and none of that's covered. So who knows? You know, 5 years from now, 2 years from now, that might all change. You know what I mean? Stuff gets approved and disapproved all the time. But I gotta tell you, dude, like being in the wheelchair is not like the worst thing that's happened to me. You know what I mean? Like it sucks, but like there are definitely worse things that I've had to deal with than having to sit around all the time. You know what I mean?
Right. That's true. But at least, you're not looking at it like it's the worst thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure most people that something like that happens to, they would look at it as like the most devastating, worst thing that can ever happen to them.
I'll be honest, the pain, dealing with the pain that was in my hips and stuff, just even when I was sleeping, I sleep on like 10 inches of memory foam under my hip every night, and I was still in like a tremendous amount of pain. Like, that was worse than any wheelchair will ever be. You know what I mean? Like, right now I can deal with the wheelchair, you know, it's fine. I got to get a new one, like I said, but other than that, like, I'm good with, I can manage with the wheelchair. I can accept that. You know what I mean? Like, the pain I couldn't deal with because it was so much. Like, I was already dealing with so much pain, and then there's new pain on top of it. Like, I can definitely understand how people got depressed and like started to get like, you know, mental health issues when it comes to dealing with pain, because it's a lot. I mean, and when it's all the time, every day, it's really hard to deal with.
Nah, yeah, I believe me. I totally know that. Like, I know dealing with the pain. I think the worst pain to deal with is like when you're asleep, because I know I still have that now badly, and like it's like a constant toss and turn, the kind
right.
of pain, and it just eases it for like however long it is, and then you got to flip back to the other side to ease it again. It's a freaking
right. Weird. That's pretty much how it is, you know. But I have this really cool chair that we picked up at the Goodwill a couple months ago that's, like, right by my bed. So if it gets too bad, I can kind of, like, go sit in that, and it, like, elevates your legs a little bit so that it takes the pressure off of your hips, and I can sleep in that. And the baby really likes to sleep in that with me, like, holding her, so that's kind of fun. Like, I know it's been a while since you've had a baby in the house, but, like, there's something like therapeutic, something relaxing about just kind of holding a sleeping baby, and you don't think about the pain for a little while. You know what I mean?
Oh, I can imagine, especially with the smile on that kid's face. Yeah, how can that not be a good therapy for you?
And she does this thing now, man, where she like, when she wakes up, if I'm holding her and I'm dozing off, she'll like start tapping me. And then when I open my eyes and look at her, she'll wave and smile. Like, and I'd be like, okay, you're getting up now. It's time to wake up. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh man. So, one of the other topics, and you know, we'll wrap up soon because actually we're hitting the hour mark. But one of the topics that you wanted to throw out there, and one of the, it's like the big freaking discussion through social media.
Yeah,
this whole fucking Tiger King Joe Exotic, and I have not seen any of it. I just see the postings and the memes going around, and I'm frightened.
Right. Now, I would encourage you not to bother watching it. To basically, for anybody that hasn't seen it, it's about this guy. It's a true story. He's in jail right now for 22 years. He owned a bunch of like tiger rescues, and he used to take tigers to like schools, tiger cubs for kids to take pictures with. And like he was like a wannabe country music singer, but he was also like a messed out drug addict. He hired a bunch of criminals to work around him and in his facilities. People, I only watched one episode of the show. I got 2 minutes into the second episode, and some lady got her arm ripped off by a tiger, and I walked out of the room like, he like used to give people meth to like sort of get them to stay with him. He had like two husbands that one of them wasn't even really gay. He was just doing it for the drugs. Like, it's a really fucked up story. Like, and I'm not saying I'm an expert on it because I didn't watch the whole thing, but like, people that don't know me are often surprised to hear that I'm really passionate about animal conservation and wildlife conservation. It goes back to the crocodile hunter and like just my undying love for everything that he's done for animals and the world. And I think that it's just terrible. I think it's the lowest form of entertainment. I think that it's exploiting drug addicts. there's videos out there from PETA and from the FPCA and the Humane Society where that have this guy punching tigers in the face, taking cubs away from their moms way too early so that they could spend time with kids getting pictures. They brought in, during his trial, they brought in skulls of tigers that were shot in the back of the head. Not that there was anything wrong with them, it's just that they got too big and too old for him to take them to schools and to feed and stuff like that, so he just killed them. Like, to me, it's anybody that claims to love animals, I can't understand how they can support that. And I'm not trying to talk shit on anybody that watches it for, like, the train wreck that it is, because we all watch train wreck TV, whether it's, you know, Mob Wives or Kitchen, you know, Nightmares or whatever. But, like, this is just something that I'm super passionate about, and I don't like roadside zoos. I don't like private for-profit zoos. And it's just, to me, it's just fucking terrible to treat animals like that and to treat these creatures that they're just, we're running out of tigers. Like, that is a fact. Like, there are not many tigers left in the wild, but somehow there's like 3,000 of them in captivity in Texas and the United States. You know what I mean? Like, I'm guilty of reposting memes because I think they're funny and I know people will like them and I'll get the clicks, and that's on me, you know, that there is a little bit of moral gray area there, but like, for the most part, I can't support it. I won't watch the show. I don't want to, I hope he never gets out of jail. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's sad to me.
Yeah, you know, just looking at all the memes and the postings and stuff like that, like on social media, like, I'm just like, what the, like, I have no desire to watch it. I'm a little freaked out by the whole thing. And just listening to you talk about it, like, I'm even more freaked out. Like, it's kind of scary that, like, Netflix decided to kind of glorify this guy. Like, I get it. Like, it's been a huge ratings thing for them. And
absolutely.
You know, I mean, so many people have watched it, but it seems like everybody that has watched it has been completely freaked out by it.
And now YouTube has a special on it. ABC is doing a special on it. They're going to turn it into like a dramatic series or comedy series with like Kate McKinnon and stuff. And I'm just like, why are we promoting this? Like, and I honestly like, okay, so you know me. You know I'm not like into like hippie shit. I don't like crystals or essential oils or anything like that. But like, people out there, they'll be like, maybe this virus thing is like the world telling us we need to get our shit together. And like, I don't necessarily believe that, but like, imagine if it was. Like, if it was, then Tiger King is spitting in the face of that message. You know what I mean? Like,
totally is.
Yeah, like, it's just, it's awful. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Like, and again, I'm not shitting on anybody that likes it and watches it and is like, wow, this is terrible, but I can't take my eyes off of it. Like, I get that. You know what I mean? Like, I totally do. And just for me, for my opinion, for my personal taste, I would rather watch something. The stuff that I watch is about heroes and is about enjoying things and it's about, you know, drama and comedy and changes in life. Like, I don't want to see things suffer and real life people acting like villains.
Yeah, the whole thing, it just seems like a freaking freak show, horror show, and zero, I honestly have zero desire to watch it, like, but okay, I picture myself watching it literally with my mouth open in disbelief that this is, like, the human race going, and more of the human race is glorifying this freak show and just making money off of it, which is what...
Right. It's, yeah... And that's basically what it is. They're just glorifying it. And, like, people will give you the arguments. They're like, well, at least, you know, people are watching it, and now they know about it, and that might change. But, like, on the flip side of that, people are watching it, and now they think they can spend $2,000 on a fucking tiger cub and keep it in their apartment in Delaware County. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Like, that's not a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not just tigers. It's any wild animal that's kept, you know, where it shouldn't be. Like, this guy's making deals with Walmart for, like, expired meat because it takes thousands and thousands of pounds of meat to feed a dozen tigers every day, you know, and every week and every year. He's making deals with the police to scrap roadkill, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, that's not, like, zoos don't do that. Zoos have nutritionists. And they have doctors that constantly check up on these animals. And you know what I mean? Like, it's not the same thing as a zoo. It's not the same thing as a wildlife rescue place. It's the lowest form of that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Wow. Just complete freaking craziness.
Absolutely, dude. Thank you for letting me get that out. I appreciate that.
I mean, it's such a huge thing that's going on right now. And so many people are like into it and just like watching it and focused on it. Just complete freaking craziness. Like, I can't believe, you know.
Dude, it was nuts. The lady was like, first of all, he comes in and there's like a group of people and he's like, today you're going to see wild animals. Today you'll take pictures of wild animals. And there's like a 100% chance that you're going to get pissed on by a tiger. And people laugh, but it's true. They get pissed on by these tigers. And then, like, in the second episode, the guy's like, holy shit, what are we going to do? And the lady's, like, laying on the ground. She's like, I can't find her arm. Somebody get the arm. And then, like, they go to the hospital, and she's like, the tiger ripped off my arm. He walks into the guest shop, and he's like, look, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be up front with you. One of our zookeepers stuck her arm in a cage, and a tiger ripped it off. If you'd like to go home, I can give you all rain checks to come back at another time. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like, and that lady returned to work 5 days later.
Holy shit.
Like, it's just, it's to me, it's exploitation. You know what I mean? Like, not only the tigers, but the drug addicts, the felons that he hires. And I'm not against hiring felons. Let me be clear on that. But hiring felons and paying them a shitty wage to work with dangerous, untrained animals or supplying them with meth so they can do the job is what I'm against. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give your workers, you know, meth to go work with tigers. It sounds like a perfectly sane thing to do.
Yeah, because you can't tell me that there isn't 100% chance that at some point in time, one of those nasty rednecks gave a tiger meth just to see what would happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's put some meth in this rabbit and see what happens. I guarantee you it happens.
It's craziness. It really is. I mean, Netflix should be absolutely ashamed of themselves.
But it's their number one stream thing. It's like, it's been trending. It's been their highest rated thing in the history of Netflix, too. So, like, yeah.
And honestly, it's all through the power of social media, too, because
absolutely
so many people post about it on social media. And, like, how many of these people, like, I see so many people posting about this Carol Baskins or whatever, and I bet you 50% of the people that post about Carol Baskins don't even know who the fuck she is. Like, I don't know who she is, but I know she has something to do with this Tiger King and killing somebody.
Yeah, just a real quick rundown of that. She actually doesn't work for him. She runs a rival rescue, and she and him were feuding over which one was a scumbag and which one wasn't. They're both scumbags. They just do things a little differently. And one of the reasons he's in jail is because two times he tried to hire someone to kill her. So he was convicted on those two charges as well as four charges of animal cruelty and animal abuse. So he's doing like 22 years, and he's a pretty older dude now. So he's probably going to die in jail unless Trump pardons him, which I don't think is really going to happen. I think that's just kind of a joke that people keep making.
Right.
I don't even think Trump is that crazy.
Never say never. Never say never.
Very true.
Oh, man. So, any last things you want to throw out there before we close it up for the week, for this episode?
Just to make sure you check us out on Facebook. We talked a lot about social media this episode. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. I don't know if you have a Snapchat or Periscope or anything like that, but you can usually find us, Totally Driven Radio, Totally TV Nation, Bay Ragney, Nick Wilkinson. Like, we're out there. If you want to interact with us, I can't speak for Bay, but if you send me a message, almost all the time I'll reply to you and talk to you. If you want to talk about different things on the show, reach out to us, man. We'll figure out a way to get you on. We'll have conversations. We love interacting with our people.
Yeah, and let me like run down a list of our outlets real quick. We are on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. We are on Deezer, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and YouTube. So you can go to any one of those sites. Basic Show, BAYSICK Show, or Totally Driven Entertainment, and we'll pop up. So make sure you like us, love us, follow us, subscribe to us, and keep up to date with our shows. And one of the questions that was asked for us to discuss on this show, we were asked by somebody, I think it was Angel, wanted to know what I miss from Philly and Delaware County now that I live in Nashville. And number one, my daughter Marissa, who stayed back home with my ex-wife. Number two, my friends and family. And number three, the food. Most definitely,
yeah.
Some of the food places that I used to frequent back home. That's what I miss from Philly and Delco. But a million times happier in Nashville with my family. So hey, there you go.
Absolutely. And in case you don't know, I'm originally from that area too, and I'm now in Phoenix, Arizona, and all three of mine would be food as well, specifically soft pretzels.
Ooh, yeah. A nice thing. Pretzel would be fucking amazing right now.
We had a Philly soft pretzel factory out here, and we used to go there once a week, and they just recently closed down. They claim that they're going to be reopening, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I've been saying that to Coco since I moved here. We should open one of those here. I think that would light up Nashville.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. All right. So let's wrap it up for episode number two. We just how long did we go? Let me see here.
1 hour, 13 minutes, and 4 seconds so far.
There you go. So there you go.
All right, guys, so that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Basic Show, not Totally Driven Radio, but also kind of Totally Driven Radio. And you can catch us on all the outlets we just mentioned. You can catch us on social media. And don't forget, every week we want you to do two things. We want you to stay winning, and we want you to make shit happen.